whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Y'all really serious about this milk, man.
Man, we got milk man. Wars going on.
There's real
People
milk
drink
beef.
That milk.
There's yeah. real milk beef.
We got Peter on the line on the text line.
I don't know, but if they were on the text line, they'd be getting this smoke too. The 713-572-4610. We will get into the Nick Caserio conversation with Payne Pendergast from earlier this morning. Spent a good 45 minutes on with them boys, as he often does. Like, always very, he's very comfortable with those dudes. Mm-hmm. He talk a lot, but that is not inherently a bad thing, because I think you get some interesting nuggets from it. But yeah, man, real milk beef on the text line, where I had mentioned, you know, Jay in Freeport let us know the interesting tidbit that he had about us being the only mammals that, not us as a show, but like us as human beings,
yeah.
being the only mammals that seek out consumption of milk after infancy. And Ronald on the YouTube was like, if other mammals could figure out how to farm and keep livestock, they'd do that. And somebody else took that to a whole different level, where they were like, we're also the only species that builds jets and cars and nuclear power plants and spaceships. Maybe those other animals should stop being dorks and drink milk
Take
after
that
infancy
animals.
Too.
So Take
in your face, tigers.
Yeah.
Hold that, otters.
Yeah.
How you feel?
We might have to put this on the list with like religion, politics.
Can't talk milk. Milk is off limits.
Yeah.
It's too divisive. In fact, I thought about it. I was like, how do we get here? Because I was talking about Jim Harbaugh. He is already dividing us
yeah.
as what a Texans
does.
Fan base
what he does.
To try and sow discord.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot let him, my brother, separate us from ourselves.
Yeah.
No, I'm just playing. But also, and I guess we are in that lunchtime time, so I will try and do the discourtesy. If you're about to eat,
mm-hmm.
if you're a little squeamish, give me about 45 seconds. All right? You ready? Yes?
Ready.
Okay, cool. From the 281. Bro, found out I was lactose intolerant while I was on a date. Had a 44-ounce chocolate shake from Whataburger. Blew up her toilet. That was next to her. I hate how that happens. The text went away. Went next to her room.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes.
Oh.
That was the end of that date.
That was the first date?
First date.
I don't know if it was
or,
it first.
Or just
it,
a date?
Just a date.
Okay. Yeah.
Would it be worse if that was a first date or if it was like a fifth date?
Oh, well, it was the first date.
Oh, you're done.
Yeah, you can't blow up a girl.
But isn't it worse if y'all kind of vibing and then you get to like date five and it's just like, actually, no.
Yeah.
Actually, can't do it.
We got a deal breaker.
Not going to be able to
and
do
you
it.
You over here dropping the deuce in your...
Open the window.
Yeah. Oh,
Dumb
yeah.
and dumber.
Like, light a match. Are people still lighting matches? Does that actually work?
I don't know if that even works.
Yeah, nah.
Or just hold it.
Somebody that's lactose.
Yeah, you can, just hold it.
Nah.
Yeah, the milk beef continues in the text line. Incredible. All right, let's talk Texans. All right, let's not talk milk.
Let's get back to sports, fellas.
Yeah.
Let's get back.
I'm surprised I didn't see that on the text line.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about
sports,
when you're talking about milk.
That's how big the milk topic is.
Yeah, I ain't seen none of that.
Well, yeah.
Also, great point. Sorry. Great point by Nick's Lazy Narrative on the YouTube, which will be a fantastic segue in 30 seconds. They went to Whataburger on their first date? The very first one?
Oh, man.
These are questions.
That couldn't have been the first date,
it can't
right?
Be. It can't. Well, you know, sometimes some women like to keep it low-key.
That's an easy way to kind of... You know,
that's a very Texas thing too, man.
It also is. It's it very
kinda,
much is
because like an easy
also
way to
it don't
in.
Hit the same if I say let's go to McDonald's.
Yeah. No, no.
But
no.
Whataburger is like that's right. a very Texas.
Well,
thing.
Well, actually, how much does she like you?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because if she
yeah.
really like you, y'all going anywhere? Y'all going anywhere together? All right. Again, from hopefully not Nick's Lazy Narrative as a name to Nick's conversation with Payne and Pendergast earlier today.
Transition King.
I told you he was going to be there.
Telling you.
There were some really interesting things that he got into in the 45 minutes. It's worth going back and listening to. I'm sure it's on the podcast page for Payne and Pendergast on sportsradio610.com, but you can also use the Odyssey app to rewind. But I was interested in a few things that jumped out to me, and one of those was Nick Caserio talking about something that I think we're all excited to see, which mm-hmm. is Zeez Al-Shaair, Christian Harris, and Henry Toto'o finally having the opportunity to play together.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think during the course of the year, there's always going to be an ebb and flow. Players are going to be in, players are going to be out. You're going to have to deal with a number of different situations ultimately during the course of the year. So those are three good football players. Christian played a lot of good football last year. And as the year progressed, he was probably playing at a peak level. And we saw that in a playoff game really against Cleveland. And then he's missed a lot of football, so there's been a little. It's been a little bit of a work in progress, and he played a couple games there, didn't play last week. So, you know, we'll go through the course of the week. We'll kind of see where we are. But Henry and Azeez, I mean, those two players have played really good football here over the course of the year. I mean, Henry led us in tackles this year, over 100 tackles. So he just built on what he did during the course of his rookie season. And Azeez is a good football player, as we know, which is why we signed him and brought him in. And I think last week was good. He was able to kind of get his feet underneath him, played a number of plays during the course of the game. And it doesn't matter who you are, how much football you played. When you miss time, it sometimes takes a game or two to kind of get your feet back on the ground between practice and going out there in a game and then coming back the next week and practice and going out there and playing again. So regardless of your level of experience, but those are three good football players. I'd say overall, that linebacker group, we felt we built decent depth during the course of the offseason. So the three players that you mentioned, and then including Neville, Jake Hansen, brought Devin in there a little bit different points. We got some snaps from Delshon and even Jamal Hill. You know, he was coming on there late in the year, gave us some plays in the kicking game. So, you know, part of our job and responsibility as best we can, try to build as much depth across positions as we can across the team. Because at some point, and we've talked about this on the show, you're going to need everybody that's in your building to go out there and play in a game that that matters.
Very interesting right there. I like that one because he touched on a couple, made me think about a couple things. Number one, do you see all three of them on the field at the same time? How often?
We saw a lot of base, and of course, Christian didn't play in this game on Week 18, but we saw a lot of base in that in that Week 18 game, and that's one of the things that we've thought about, right? What does that nickel look like, or how do you handle that kind of position in there? Because, you know, you don't have Jalen Petrie, you don't have Jimmy Ward. So what is your solution? Is it indeed bringing Miles Bryant on the field, or is it putting Kamari Lassiter in the slot? Or is it, especially with the versatility and the fluidity and the movement that Christian Harris brings, is it with him maybe having some consideration for that slot? And it would be cool seeing all three of them together, but the particular challenge that exists is Ladd McConkey. Like, he has the second most yards from receivers out of the slot. Like, having to deal with him is going to be very interesting in this game. So I'm really, really keyed into how they get him. But did you notice that one of the things he said was he was putting the brakes a little bit on Christian Harris, talking about we'll see throughout the week, which, remember, harkens back to what D'Amico said, which he was like, Christian.
He said the same thing.
Christian is still working back. And I was like, I didn't realize that we were still in that place with Christian Harris.
Yeah, okay, so that was another point that I was going to make, and I think that's more gamesmanship than anything. Christian Harris is, again, I don't know why I remember this number, but 82% of the snaps.
And I'll now never forget it.
In his first game back against the Dolphins, that's a guy that's ready to go. The other thing that made me think about, okay, if you don't have all three, or who knows how much you do it, on the field at the same time, think about the options it gives you in passing, in obvious passing situations. Because I don't know if you want to put Christian Harris on Ladd McConkey.
But I also am not sure if you want to put Miles Bryant on Ladd McConkey.
Well, maybe Kamari Lassiter pops in there.
And then who ends up
who ends up on the outside. But it does give you better pass coverage, you know, by far. So it gives you some options. And, you know, I like that.
Yeah. So I just that thing that pops in my head was like, oh, man, okay. But I feel like you're right. There's probably gamesmanship, and if it's not gamesmanship, they'll find a way.
Yeah.
Right. If there was a game,
if not now, when?
If there was a game where a good old Toradol shot don't come out and fix everything, right? As a panacea, it is. Hey, first round of the playoffs, or just playoffs in general, right? These are the win or go down, win or go home situations. It reminds me of a player that I will never forget, and his name is Thomas Davis. Mm-hmm. Played linebacker. In this instance, what was that, 2015? For the Carolina Panthers, when they went to the Super Bowl, except in the NFC Championship game, he broke his arm.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, he was out there playing football with a broken arm. Like, we are going to make it happen. And it feels like that is the time period that we're at, even though I understand that this team tends to play from, err on the side of caution. Yeah. Is the word I was looking for. Man, my pronunciation getting real crazy here because of all this milk.
You need to drink
talk.
More milk?
No, I don't. I promise you I don't. I can tell you that for damn certain. All right, how about this as we move it along with some of the Casario cuts here. Do you want to talk about Justin Herbert?
Yes.
Because that is the quarterback that you are facing. And I found it interesting, the amount of respect that was given by Nick Casario about Justin Herbert. This is how he talked about him.
He won't win the MVP, but honestly, like, you can make a cogent argument for why he should. Talking about a guy who's big, who's strong, who's more athletic than people think he is, that can make plays with his legs. his attempted, I don't know, 500 passes, whatever it's been, three interceptions. I mean, do that math. Like, I'm not good at it, but that's a pretty good ratio.
It's the second fewest ever behind Aaron Rodgers in that freakish season that he had.
And can get the ball basically wherever he wants to go. Some of the throws that he's made into tight quarters, I mean, I want to say I was watching the other day against Kansas City. You know, they had Ladd McConkey doubled in a red area. They kind of had a double call in and out call. You couldn't see Ladd, but he threw the ball to a spot where Ladd could make the play, and it's a touchdown. I mean, whoever is talking about Justin Herbert, like, I would tell him, go watch the film. This guy's played as good a football as any quarterback in the league who's smart. He's tough as hell. He plays hurt. He makes throws with players draped all over him. So, I mean, this guy is a damn good football player who probably doesn't get as much credit and respect as he deserves.
You're not going to hear Nick Caserio be more effusive about a player than that. He did everything but call him a football playing Jesse. Like he did, I guess it was Aziz, wasn't it? Or it might have been Danico Autry. But either way, that's big time praise right there. And you can tell what, you know, their singular focus is somehow, some way throw him off his game.
It's part of it. I mean, it's a large part of it. That is distinctly, if you're going to come up with anything on this team or any maybe individual or small group of this team that you go, hey, this is the first thing that we circle. He's one.
Yes.
And two is on defense, right, in Derwin James.
Correct.
And so, yeah, man, this is going to be real interesting, and I guess I would like to go ahead and play the keys to the game because I think it ties in, but, like, that's going to be a huge part. And keeping him corralled is really the big thing that I keep thinking on, because the amount of a focus on going and rushing the quarterback, the pressure that you can get on him, and we were talking about this yesterday, pressure is going to be a big name of the game, but as whenever we talk about players like this, when we talked about dealing with Josh Allen, when we talked about, who else did we, Lamar Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, man, going and applying pressure is super necessary because their arms are dangerous, but not too much, right? Like, in a way that is, you have to be very disciplined. Discipline is going to be the name of the game.
Yeah, 100%.
For this game, for this defense, because also, like, When you talk about Justin Herbert, he's really good without pressure. So you need to get pressure. But if you don't, he has the mobility. He's big and strong and fast enough to hurt you with his legs. In addition to that, this team is really good at using play action. Mm-hmm. He used play action at a high degree. And his numbers out of play action are very good. So, like, that is where the linebackers that we were talking about, Aziz, Christian Harris, Henry Toa, Henry probably the biggest one of those. You guys have to be super disciplined, because the play action is generally as a construct made to trip you guys up
and
to get you guys to take that step up. And now Ladd McConkey, who has been fantastic in the intermediate areas, boom, now you go boom, boom, that's 15, that's 20. Yep. And those are the ways that you get eaten up.
And Justin Herbert, widely considered as the best in the league with play action. His fake.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the focus. There's the discipline.
All right. So let's get to Nick Caserio's keys for this Chargers game.
This game's going to come down to turnovers and red zone efficiency on either side of the ball. So you're talking about first in the league in red area defense at Chargers. They've done a good job of minimizing points. And then turnovers, this is one of they turn the ball over the least amount, among the least amount. I think Buffalo or somebody who had 8. And they had 9, so they don't turn the ball over offensively. They play good red area defense. Whoever manages those two situations the best is probably going to be in the best position to win a football game.
Preach. I mean, that's what you just mentioned it, earlier, and I think that's absolutely it. The red zone to me is even more key than anything. I mean, obviously turnovers is going to be huge, but hell, the Texans have played a game in which they got 5 turnovers and lost this year.
Why are you bringing up Olsen?
But
I don't understand.
Red zone for the Texans, I said this yesterday, we're kind of like glossing over the fact that this team has had a really hard time for a long stretch scoring touchdowns in the second half.
Been kicking a lot of field goals, baby.
Long stretch.
Been kicking a lot of field goals when you do get into the red zone, or even in the gold zone before you get into the red zone. Like, they've been kicking a lot of field goals, and now you're actively going against the Chargers team that's been really good.
The best.
And I was trying to go through, admittedly, Caserio on Pain and Pendergast afterwards, I was trying to, get ready for the show and everything, but I popped up, the film, and I was trying to look at some of their red zone tape, and I mean, they've played like 150 red zone downs, and I was like, I'm not getting through all these. So I was running through the last few games of them. I mean, there's a lot of man in the red zone, but it's very disciplined, and they they trigger and they swarm well to the football. If you do run in those instances, like, you're going to have to be on your P's and Q's, because this feels like another instance, and just in general in the playoffs, you can't be turning potential sevens into threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not a good trade-off. So, yeah, man, that's going to be a huge part of this as well. It was really, really in-depth. There was a lot more happening there, and we'll bring some more of that back. But, man, fantastic sit-down with Nick Caserio with our guys. Payne and Pendergast this morning, 7:30 was the time if you want to go back and find it. I'm certain it's on the podcast page there. Appreciate those fine fellows, those nice milk drinkers on the morning show.
Seth strikes me as a big milk drinker.
I mean, you don't get to be that big. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He probably drank milk straight from the cow.
Someone did ask if we've drank raw milk, and I was like, absolutely not.
I have. Straight from the cow.
I haven't.
Yeah. It's rich. Tastes like cream.
Okay.
But it's warm and kind of off-putting.
And please don't take my reaction as some level of indication of how I feel about you. I just don't know how I feel in general about that description. Not that you described it incorrectly.
I've done it from a goat.
I just need you to clip that for me. just that audio for me, if you don't mind.
I have.
Dang, Andre Johnson got some milk, huh?
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, wow.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610.
Now that's unfair.
I'm done here.
Now that's unfair.
I don't want any more of this at all. I'm done. My hands are up in the air. I'm throwing my hands up. I'm done. All right, coming up next, we're about that time where we do our lunchtime confessions. Hopefully no more goat milk confessions. We'll do it next.